Welcome to another episode of Into the 99, where we have 99 cards, because Commander's number one. I am your host, Brian, and joined with me today, I have my great friends, Slothy and Sherman. How are you gentlemen doing today?
Sorry, I cut you off there. Me or Slothy?
Either or. You guys can interrupt another.
I'm doing pretty well. I'm not a big fan of the weather we've got right now. As of right now, it is a grand total of 26 degrees colder than our last recording was. And that's not fun.
The temperature change is huge here.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Oh, me. Right. Excellent. I've done nothing all week. I went and saw Dune for the second time there last weekend. Excellent movie, actually. I really enjoyed it. But Sherman, how are you now doing?
I am gassy.
I thought lactose.
I message everyone saying like, oh my goodness, this is like something crawled up inside of me and died. It's because we got like a bunch of like I'm lactose intolerant. Girlfriend's like, oh, I got these like the small little dairy drinks that like you get like from going like Korean barbecue and everything. They're like probiotics. She's like, I bought a bunch of them. I was like, okay, so I drank them occasionally. And yeah,
now Sherman's dying.
Oh, I'm dying on the inside. That's for sure.
I'm going to remove so, that
like,
entire.
Everyone's like listening to the recording now. It's like, okay, time to tune out.
Yeah, that's. I'm going to remove the entire part of Sherman describing himself, and I'm just going to add in like a Russian guy's voice going, "I am fine." Like just,
I am Sherman. I am okay.
Yeah, exactly.
A little dive inside of my life. So, other than that, though, like I'm. Oh man, my emotions have, like. It's like been a roller coaster of a week for me for work. So like I gotta tell you guys stories after we're done recording. I'm not gonna say it on while we're recording. So, but it's like, oh my goodness, I will rant for a bloody hour about this crap.
And on that, anyway, before he finishes, if you want to hear us ranting and everything and want to join in the pre-game banter, sign up for Patreon. So you go to patreon.com/into99 or IT99. I'm not 100% sure what the actual slash is, but we got a whole bunch of different perks there. If you join for free, you can come and join our Discord. If you sign up for the dollar tier or higher, you get access to recording, like Thunder's listening to us right now. And you get to also have private conversations with us and further perks. Remember, check it out. Also, find everything on intothe99.com. So, today, gentlemen, it's finally the day that I can stop ranting and we can discuss that's not the kindest of lords. That's a watery grave. The kindest of lords. We got Talion, the kindly lord.
I can see why you do so well with this deck. Like, just looking at the price so low, like, we're talking about
this card was built for me.
And it's like 1400, and Swami's like, oh, that's because he put in the wrong Ristic study. It's like, okay, we take out the Ristic study. The price is still like close to $900.
What can I say? I'm a simple man.
Simple pleasures.
I like shiny things.
You like expensive things.
Hey, at least it's not. Never mind. I'm going to stop myself before I say that one. So, we have Talion. I saw this commander when we were out at the face-to-face at Calgary, and if you saw our gameplay, I played against two of them, and it was really fun. I still ended up winning, which was hilarious. More likely thanks to Daniel, because he took my turn and killed himself. But Talion is, it's just, so I'll read it out and then we can talk about it. So it's two, a blue and a black, legendary creature, very noble. He is a very fancy man. So flying, as Talion the kindly lord enters the battlefield, choose a number between 1 and 10. I've tried 2 and 3 so far in my games. 3 definitely seems to be the best number in my mind, and this is why. Whenever an opponent casts a spell with mana value, power, or toughness equal to the chosen number, that player loses 2 life and you draw a card. And he is a 3/4.
Yeah.
Most creatures And if you think about it, most decks, we try to keep our CMC around the 3 mark, right? Like, we try to keep it within a lower range, most times, I should say. But then also, most creatures are 1/3s, 3/1s. I find a lot of, like, 3 does very well for me in the games that I've played so far. And currently, we are sitting at a healthy 7-1 for this commander. One of those victories was from someone else playing the deck as well.
And I'm proud to say that both Sherman and I were in the game that you lost.
Yeah, that was because I was purposely targeted.
I wonder why.
Yeah, probably because Daniel said I was boasting too much. I get it.
But overall, though,
should never give, like, your deck a win streak.
Overall, the commander is really strong just because of the fact that, like, you're, it's not the life loss that most people worry about. It's just the card draw.
The advantage.
Mm-hmm. The card advantage you get from Talion is outrageous at times. Because especially if someone's casting, like, 3 or 4 spells during their turn, there's a chance that you'll draw at least 2 or 3 times from them.
First spell's a 3 CMC. Second spell's a 1/3. The third spell is a 3/1. Or, like, it's... You can... Just based off of the wording, you can hit it multiple different ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's very nice for reminding people. Oh, please. Sorry. What was that CMC again?
Yeah. Almost as annoying as a Rhystic Study.
What? Polly wants a cracker. Yeah. So,
right, how do you want to start off?
Let's start off in... Let's just go with our creatures. We'll just go straight from one side to the other. There's nothing really that, like, I want to talk about, like, I'm really happy with this deck because I've been able to win in multiple different directions with it. Mill, draw, commander damage. Like, there's been ways that I've been able to go in many different directions with taking opponents out. So that's where I really enjoyed the versatility of this commander. So yeah, we'll start off with our creatures here. Sherman, you can start us off if you want.
Right. We got Academy Lore Master for Blue. It's a human wizard that's a 2/3. At the beginning of each player's draw step, that player may draw an additional card. If they do, spells they cast this turn cost 2 more to cast.
We're playing Group Hug, bud.
Group Hug.
I didn't see those quotes slotting. Please. Please take my boy. Say his name correctly.
Next up, we've got Aklazots.
Nope, Deepest that wasn't Betrayal. Nope, that wasn't it. Alikalots.
Alikalots. Deepest Betrayal. 3 double black for a 4/4 legendary creature Bat God with flying and lifelinks. Whenever Aklazots attacks, each opponent discards a card. For each opponent who can't, you draw a card. Whenever an opponent discards a land card, you create a 1/1 black bat creature token with flying. And when Aklazots dies, return to the battlefield tapped and transformed under its owner's control. And it transforms into Temple of the Dead, which is a land that can tap for black, or pay 2 in black and tap it to transform Temple of the Dead. Activate only if a player has 1 or fewer cards in hand and only as a sorcery.
That one, I really don't care about, but... It just brings my creature back if we can get someone. Most times, someone has 1 card or none.
Plus, it's flying and lifelink. Yeah. Those are annoying combinations.
In all honesty, I just put it in there for the discard because it hits everybody. Everybody didn't discard it. Doesn't work. And then the next one is, I'm just all over the place with these pictures here. We got Braids Arisen. At first, I thought it was Artisan. Like, this is an artisan pizza person here. But we got Braids Arisen Nightmare, which is 1/2 black. Legendary creature, Nightmare. At the beginning of your end step, you may sacrifice an artifact, a creature, enchantment, land, or planeswalker. If you do, each opponent may sacrifice a permanent that shares a card type with it. For each opponent who doesn't, that player loses 2 life, and you draw a card.
Again, more card advantage.
It's Wundabar. I sacrifice a land. Are you guys sacrificing a land?
So annoying. So annoying.
Please take more damage. Please let me draw. Just.
Oh man, this next one. Like I'm still jealous of the fact that you have a masterpiece of this. Of Consecrated Sphinx.
So I'm just blown away that you used a singular.
Oh yeah, that's how you have to move them.
I have two of them, Sherman. I have three of them.
Three. Oh, see, this is why. If anybody wonders why I go budget, this is why. Him and Daniel, they're like, oh, I'm calling up the store right now. I'm buying the every reason. Single bloody copy. I'm messaging four editor stores. I'm buying every single copy. This is why I cannot have nice things.
I was going to say that line. But no, every version of the masterpiece that I've seen, I've picked up. It's mm-hmm. It's that. We'll say it's the one of my trophies, I guess. It's my mantelpiece.
Lord. Okay. Consecrated Sphinx, for anyone who doesn't know, okay, it's a very, very, very annoying card. It's 4 and 2 blue. Alright. It is a Sphinx, and it's a 4/6. It has flying, and whenever an opponent draws a card, you may draw 2 cards. It's such a huge advantage when you get this out. It's insane.
It's Wunderbar.
So, like, imagine someone doing, like, just casting a brainstorm. Oh, draw 3 cards and put 2 on the top. Okay, Brian will get to draw 6.
I don't see anything wrong with this.
And, like, for an entire rotation around the table, if nobody else draws an additional card, you're drawing 7 cards.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
Just for being there.
Just for being there. Yeah, it's wonderful. I absolutely love the Consecrated Sphinx. Just the masterpiece version. I really don't have any other versions. I don't need any other versions.
Next up, we've got Cruel Somnophage. 1 and a black for a star-star nightmare. It has an adventure called Can't Wake Up. 4, 1 and a blue. It's a sorcery. Target player mills 4 cards. And then Cruel Somnophage's power and toughness are equal to the number of creature cards in all graveyards.
Yeah. Cheap. It could be a cheap and, like, late game, and he's massive, right? It's, or we can play it right at the start of the game. Please, Sherman, mill 4 cards. And then I wait a couple turns, and then I drop him, and hey, he's however big, right? We send him on that adventure. And then he comes back, and he tells us all the tales.
Yeah. Nightmare.
Maybe it's a nightmare tribal. Who knows?
Definitely not.
The next card is just in there again. We're not in the colors. Like, we're not in green, so we do need some sort of ramp. So we got Cryptghast, 3 and a black. Spirit, Extort. And whenever you tap a swamp for mana, add a swamp to your mana pool. Add an additional swamp to your mana pool. So it basically doubles up your mana. And it's a 2/2.
Good card. They need to reprint this more often.
It's apparently like $7, or sorry, $9.
Mm-hmm. Used to be a $20 card.
Oh, I did not know that. I knew it was expensive, but I didn't know it was $20.
Yeah, I believe.
Was the last printing Gatecrash? Like, was it actually that far back?
No, there was also Ravnica Remastered, and it was in one of the Commander decks, I think, as well.
Okay. Talking about Ravnica Remastered, that Massacre Girl from that set, me and Sharon were looking at it earlier. Great. Looks, the artwork, wonderful.
Looks amazing.
Give that to me in foil. I didn't even want to buy that set. I may have to now. Just joking. That's too expensive for my blood.
All right. This one we got. Oh, you got the different one. All right. So it's the Garuda Doom of Death. So for 4 and a hybrid, blue-black. Okay. It's legend creature, Demon Kraken. Or Kraken, or whatever you want to call it. 6/6. It has companion, which we don't care about. But when Garuda enters the battlefield, each player puts the top 4 cards of their library into their graveyard. Put a creature card with an even converted mana cost from among those cards onto the battlefield under your control.
I'm playing 22 creatures. I need other creatures. This is the lowest amount of creatures I have in the deck.
I wanna see what happens if we get you to play a Spellslinger deck once.
Tried it.
Where, like, you have, like, maybe, like, 6 creatures.
I had Mizzix. Gross. Didn't like it.
I feel like his head would explode.
Yeah, no, I had Nizzix and I tried it, and...
You can play Blanca sometime.
Ah, I did have him.
Mm.
But had, it's like the Shrieking Terror, I think it's like the legit name.
Yeah.
Did 18 damage and did it like 18 damage in one turn. We're good.
Then we've got Grima, Saruman's Footman. 2 blue black for a 1/4 legendary human advisor that cannot be blocked. Whenever Grima deals combat damage to a player, that player exiles cards from the top of their library until they exile an instant or sorcery. You may cast that card without paying its mana cost, then that player puts the exiled cards that weren't cast this way on the bottom of their library in a random order.
Awesome, right?
Yeah. It's a good card.
It is. It's a very... I haven't got to pull him off yet, but I know who he would be attacking, Sherman.
Not me.
Who plays all instants and sorceries? Want. The next one we have here is just a nice one, Jace's Archivist. It's 1/2 blue, Vedalken Wizard. Pay a blue, tap it. Each player discards his or her hand, then draws cards equal to the greatest number of cards a player can discard this way. 2/2. Windfall on a stick. Sometimes I need to refill my hand, you know?
Are you one of those mean people? Okay, no, you're not. I was going to ask if you were playing Narset, Parter of Veils as well.
He's mean, but he's not that mean. He has Notion Thief. I know that.
Which I've had three times that I could have played it, and I've played it once, so I'm not that mean of a person.
We'll get there eventually, but yeah, he does not have Narset in this deck.
Who we talking about? Nar.
The next card we have is Gingy.
Just call it Gingy.
Gingy Taxes. Progress Tyrant for 5 and blue. Phyrexian Praetor, 5/5. Whenever you cast an artifact, instant, or sorcery spell, copy that spell. You may choose new targets for the copy. This ability triggers only once each turn, and whenever an opponent casts an artifact, instant, or sorcery spell, counter that spell. This ability triggers only once each turn. This is such an annoying card. Holy smokes, it's so annoying.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, I thought, like, Glass Spinner was annoying. This is even worse.
Oh, the Great Glass Spinner, Kira?
Yeah.
Gross. That was, like, my first, like, blue control deck. And I just stole everyone's stuff. And they couldn't do anything about it. And I was just like, do you know what? Like, this is not fun.
And yet you put in something like this.
That's just protection. That's once its turn. Once its turn, guy.
Yeah.
You don't have to like, target every single target twice to remove it, right? It's just the first one's gone.
So, like, hang on.
Play your artifact and then play your distraction.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. This is the 11th card we've talked about in his deck so far. Now, we all always say, Brian dies first. Why is that?
No, that was an old saying. No one's been saying that recently. We don't need to bring that back. That's an archaic saying.
We don't... I don't know if I agree that we don't need to bring it back.
Please, Lothy.
Oh, I guess it is me, then, with Massacre Girl. 3 double black for a 4/4 legendary human assassin with menace. When Massacre Girl enters the battlefield, each other creature gets -1/-1 until end of turn. If a creature dies this turn, each creature other than Massacre Girl gets -1/-1 until end of turn.
Too bad Mom wasn't, like, Orzhov. Let's have double ETB for Massacre Girl.
Pointless. Well, I guess I can see that actually being useful at times.
Yeah, everything -2/-2/-2/-2. And then and then if we can't finish them off, we got Massacre Worm, 3/3 black, creature worm. They need more worms. Wizard, come on. Whenever Massacre Worm enters the battlefield, creatures your opponents control get -2/-2 until end of turn. And whenever a creature an opponent controls dies, that player loses 2 life. Die.
Then we come to one of the most annoying cards in the deck.
It's just chilling.
That's the Notion Thief.
He's just chilling.
That's 2.
He's just chilling.
Blue and a black. The human rogue. That's 3/1. It has splash. If an opponent would draw a card, except the first one they draw in each of their draw steps. Instead, that player skips their draw, and you draw a card.
Yeah, he's just having a notion with his potion.
I hate this card so much.
I've only used it once.
You know what's a great card that I'm never going to stop ranting until they unban it? Hull Breacher.
I don't understand why they banned one but not the other.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you can, like, say with Notion Thieves, stop them from drawing and drawing the cards, why can you not stop them from drawing and get a couple treasures out of it? You're not drawing the extra cards to have anything to do with the treasures immediately.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Like, if you ban the Hull Breacher, you should have banned the Notion. They should have banned the Notion Thief as well. It's just so strong. It does the same bloody thing.
Well, no treasures.
Oh, who cares?
Yeah, and in one of
you're so
treasures are strong, my guy. Like, let's be honest. That's free mana.
The thing is, you're stopping
free mana or free cards.
Card, then you're drawing the cards instead.
I feel like if one's ban worthy, I feel like they both are, and if one's not, I feel like they're both not.
Yeah,
and also it's kind of another archaic saying: Hull Breacher had no protection.
True. I was thinking about opposition agent. Like, if you ban the card, draw one, take the search one. Like, the search one's stronger, in my opinion.
No, I say, like, we're going to see other cards, just like Notion Thief, just like Hull Breacher, as time goes on. And eventually, they're just going to unban the Hull Breacher.
It all depends. This rule committee doesn't seem to be wanting to do much. They remember what Daniel's saying? They want us to police ourselves?
Oh, whatever.
Please, Slothy, the other card that scared people.
Yeah, this card, I've actually built a deck around this for my fiance before, but we've got Una, Queen of the Fae. 3 triple hybrid Dimir for a 5/5 legendary fairy wizard with flying. X and hybrid Dimir, choose a color, target opponent exiles the top X cards of his or her library. For each card of the chosen color exiled this way, put a 1/1 blue and black fairy rogue creature token with flying onto the battlefield.
This is a fun commander.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's just another great way to help remove some cards from people's libraries. And just extra blockers for me. Like, really, it's just another way for me to get more creatures on board to help block. Mm-hmm. Which the next card also definitely helps that. We got our Orcish Bowmaster, which is 1 and a black. Orc Archer, flash, when Orcish Bowmaster enters the battlefield and whenever an opponent draws a card except for the first one they draw in each of their draw steps. Orcish Bowmaster deals 1 damage to any target, then amass Orcs 1.
We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
Such a good card, such a strong card.
Mm-hmm.
They should have, like, increased the mana cost for it. 2 is just too low.
Power creep. Power creep. Does whatever power creep does.
We have a Psychosis Crawler after that for 5 mana. It's an artifact creature horror.
See? Horror tribal. Let's go.
Sorry?
Is that horror tribal? Let's go.
It's not star for power and toughness because its power and toughness are equal to the number of cards in your hand. And when you draw a card, each opponent loses 1 life.
Fair.
No, it's not fair.
If that brain can't figure out the secret of the serum, then add more brains.
Brain tribal.
You could do that now. We do have the...
That is true. With the intellect of ours?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Ooh, this card slot that you get... Please, this is one card that when I always pull it, I'm always happy. It's just fun.
This is a very fun card. We've got Rankle, Master of Prankle.
Oh, thanks.
2 double black for a 3/3 legendary fairy rogue with flying and haste. Whenever Rankle deals combat damage to a player, choose any number. Each player discards a card, each player loses a life and draws a card, or each player sacrifices a creature.
Kill on sight creature. Kill on sight.
Gotta love that haste.
They kill on sight.
Gotta love that haste.
He's a speedy boy.
Mm-hmm. And looking at him, he doesn't have any fancy boots. Nope, no boots.
That haste makes such a huge difference with Rankle. If Rankle did not have haste, it wouldn't be as that bad.
Oh, yeah, and yeah. Because you're like, all right, I at least get one turn before I have to do something, because I don't want to discard. I don't want to have to sacrifice a creature.
But then, like, when you know, the moment you see people have, like, yields down and whatnot, you throw this down, everyone just groans. Universal groan. You're just like, heh
heh heh heh. Yeah. I love it. And then we have the Roaming Throne, 4 colorless artifact creature, Golem, Ward 2. As Roaming Throne enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. Roaming Throne is the chosen type in addition to its other types. If a triggered ability of another creature you control of the chosen type triggers, it triggers an additional time. Nightmare. No, I'm joking. Fairy. We want Talion to trigger multiple times.
Horror?
Yeah, all right. If you want Nightmare, at least Braids triggers twice, which could be fun.
That's true. Braids triggers twice, I guess. Somnophage wouldn't trigger twice.
No, it just gets big.
Even if you choose Orcs for the Orcish, Orcish Boldmasters, that'd be fun. Well, fun.
Mass 2. Deal 2 damage.
Moving on. We have Rona, Herald of Invasion. It's a 1 in a blue. Legendary creature, human wizard. It's 1/3. Whenever you cast a legendary spell, untap Rona. You can tap it to draw a card, then discard a card. And for 5 and a Phyrexian black, you can transform Rona and activate it only as a sorcery. And the transformed version of it is a Phyrexian wizard. That's a 5/5. It has trample. When a source deals damage to Rona, that source's controller exiles a card from their hand at random. If it's a land, you may put it on the battlefield under your control. Otherwise, you may cast it without paying its mana cost.
Yeah, let's go.
Once again, another fun commander.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be mean. Fun, but still, a fun commander overall if you build it well.
That'd be really mean to be as a commander. Whatever you kill, I take.
So it's whenever you deal damage to it.
Yeah.
The next one we've got is Shieldred the Apocalypse. 2 double black for a 4/5 Phyrexian Praetor. It is legendary as well. It's got Death Touch. Whenever you draw a card, you gain 2 life. Whenever an opponent draws a card, they lose 2 life. Gix failed. I shall not.
See, this is another pricey card.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, I didn't know it was that much.
Yeah, it's 120. Yeah, they have one at Ogre's, $120.
This card's absolutely crazy expensive.
Good golly.
So Sherman, you could build an entire deck, or have one Shieldred.
I just showed you guys a deck before.
Yeah.
That's like, what's the price of it? $106.89.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's a Shieldred.
Yeah, yeah. I take the Shieldred.
Foil version being $109.99.
Yeah, I'm not that fan. Let me check.
I don't want to hear that you're not that fancy, one. Mr. Ryan.
All right, I'll take it. I have no fancy.
You're 3 masterpiece consecrated Sphinx. Otherwise,
oh, buddy, I'm so upset with those.
Oh,
so upset with those. That's such a loss. I bought them all for like $200, and they're like, I could sell them for $100 now. And you're like, no. So I hold. I will hold, and I will continue to pick them up, and soon I will be the dominator, and I will give the price of what I think it is. Sorry, off that ramp. I think this is whose turn? My turn?
Yeah.
All right, we got Talion's Messenger, 2 in blue. Another fairy noble, flying. Whenever you attack with one or more fairies, draw a card, then discard a card. Whenever you discard a card this way, put a +1/+1 counter on target fairy you control. Let's make Talion big.
Makes it harder to kill.
Yep.
And the very last creature we have is Tidal Barracuda for 3 and a blue. It's a fish. That's a 3/4.
It's a fish.
Any player may cast spells as though they had flash. Your opponents can't cast spells during your turn.
It lurks in the spaces between moments. Terrifying.
It is terrifying.
Fish.
So that's all fish. The creatures, and I already really, really, really hate this deck.
That's what I like to hear.
Like, oh my goodness. It's just so degenerate.
It's a wonderful deck, Sherman.
Where's my dark side? I'm going to take it out of retirement. Where is my dark side extortionist?
I don't know what that's going to do for you here, Sherman. But Slothy, please start us off with these sorceries.
Sure. Jumping into these sorceries, the first one we've got is Breach the Multiverse, 5BB. Each player mills 10 cards. For each player, choose a creature or planeswalker card in that player's graveyard, put those cards on the battlefield under your control. Then each creature you control becomes a Phyrexian, in addition to its other types.
Damn.
Yeah. You're doing a lot of mill stuff anyway.
So the Phyrexians go marching one by one. Hurrah!
That was a good storyline, too. They just ended it too quickly, in my opinion.
Yeah. I feel like a war should have taken like another set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they're called battles when they're clearly invasions.
Yeah. Would have been good.
Ah, and then we got my nice foil damnation. All I know is that it destroys all creatures because I can't read the card.
They also can't be regenerated.
Yes, yeah. 2 and 2 black for lovely battlefield art. See, this is a battlefield. Oops, that's battlefield.
And then we have the Minds Aglow for a single blue.
Group hug.
We have Joint Forces. Starting with you, each player may put an amount of mana. Each player draws X cards, where X is the total amount of mana paid this way.
Don't scowl like that, Slothy.
I don't want to hear it from you. don't get me wrong. I love the deck so far.
Well, however, you get to enjoy the next one, too. This one I have pulled off twice.
Yep. We've got Subjugate the Hobbits. 5BB. Gain control of each non-commander creature with mana value 3 or less.
It's Wunderbar.
Your tokens are my tokens now. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's in all honesty, I've played this twice. If you watch the Rogue's Passage game, like that's how I won with it. I took everybody's non-commander creatures,
mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm used to running like 35 creatures in a deck, right? Like a majority of my deck is creatures, so to me, I'm just with these other cards. It's just another way that I'm ensuring that I have blockers, especially when I'm playing annoying crap like this.
Yeah, that's fair.
And on that annoying crap, we got Tash's Hideous Laughter. I personally, first time it got played against me, I was like, how is this card, like, CMC so low? Yeah, we got 3, so it's 1 and 2 blue. Each opponent exiles cards on the top of their library until that player has exiled cards with total mana value 20 or more.
Such a good card.
Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like if you're going into, like, a CDH deck, that's like 20 cards out of their deck, like, or 20 plus cards out of their deck. So I'm thinking of all the free spells, all the 1 CMCs, and just your lands.
It really is especially good with that and against decks that focus on landfall. They tend to have more lands than
everyone that's true, else. Like 37 to 40 yeah. lands.
Yeah, so it's like almost devastating for them. So, but it's such a good card. And like it's a high price for a good reason.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, oh, $24. I was going to say, the high price. I was like, what are you talking about? It's 3 CMC.
Yeah, it's low price. low cost for Magic. But for like the wallet, it's a little bit on the higher end.
Yeah, it's definitely steep.
Not like $100 like Shieldred, but still.
The standard printing is $6, however.
Yeah, because you have...
But Brian's fancy.
Yeah, you're fancy, Brian.
Actually, let me. I'll pick the one that I actually have. We got the. Where is it? I have the year in mind.
Oh, because you have the pre-release one.
Yeah. But
That's why.
I don't even see it on there. I'll just select that one. It's $12.99. Whoops, that's not the card. There we go. But enough of that. Sherman, please.
We got Whispering Madness for 2 blue and a black. So
the guy looks like he's snickering in the artwork.
Then draws cards equal to the greatest number of cards that player discarded this way. The awesome part, though, is that this has Cypher. So if anyone doesn't know what Cypher is, the reminder text says this. Then you may exile this spell card encoded on a creature you control. Whenever that creature deals combat damage to a player, its controller may cast a copy of the encoded card without paying its mana cost.
So I'm an idiot. Never do that. I should. I really should do this. But I'm an idiot and didn't realize that I could actually do that. I got to start reading my cards.
Rounding out our sorcery section, we've got Windfall. 2 and a blue. Each player discards their hand and draws cards equal to the greatest number of cards discarded this way.
Yeah. Like our Jace's Archivist, we want to be able to manipulate people's hands if people are like, oh. People have bad poker faces sometimes, right? And so sometimes we do have to. Or do you know what? Like, most of the times when I get these cards, like these wheels, I look at my cards and go, okay, I got 3 turns. What do I need to get out? And what do I want? What could I care less about, right? Because if I can throw a wheel out early, that really kind of messes with people's plans.
Yeah, true.
So sometimes I try to go that way. If I can do a really quick wheel, excellent. But if not, it's usually I'll try to play my hand and have the Windfall as the last card. And then I'm getting a free new hand out of it, and everybody else is like, oh.
Yeah.
And then I'm playing with a lot of heat, so here's our instant section. We got to start off with Counterspell, 2 blue. Counter target spell. Nice spell you got there. Be a shame if something happened to her.
And then we got a Dark Ritual for a black. You get 3 black instead. Actually, Brian, I have a nice Dark Ritual for you if you really want.
I do love nice Dark Rituals.
I have the Japanese version that came from
Strixhaven?
Kamigawa one.
Oh. I don't think I saw the Kamigawa one.
Yeah. I'll show you later. Anyway, sorry. Got distracted.
Trades, middle of the podcast. Woo!
It's a trading card game. We're trading, okay? Leave me alone. Yeah.
It's right in the name. Next up, we've got Drown in the Lock. Blue and a black for choosing one. Counter target spell with mana value less than or equal to the number of cards in its controller's graveyard. Or destroy target creature with mana value less than or equal to the number of cards in its controller's graveyard.
I just threw it in because the artwork is awesome. And it's a counter to me or a removal for me. Man, it's cheap. The artwork is just one. Whoa, I just jumped across. It's just one reason why I put it in there. It's lovely. And then this one's just too good. I've been told by the Sir Daniel I'm not allowed to play with Cyclonic Rift, so we got our other staple for it, Filter Out. 1-2 blue, return all non-creature, non-land permanents to their owner's hands.
Fantastic card. Yep. Fantastic card. I need to get more of these. They're so good.
I may have a few. I'll have to double check.
We got one of my favorite cards in black. It's Imp's Mischief for 1 in black. Change target spell with a single target. Use life to that spell's mana value. So it's a fun card.
Mm-hmm. Then there's Minor Misstep. Single blue. Counter target spell with mana value 1 or less. Brian got his soul ring countered 1 too many times and said, enough of this, it's my turn.
You stole the words from my mouth. Yes, I want to be the problem. That's the dream. Every time I get it, I'm just like, play a soul ring.
Play a Mana Crypt.
Yeah. The next one we have here is C-Double, 2-2 blue. The spell can't be copied. Choose one. If an opponent has 8 or more cards in their graveyard, you may choose both. Copy target spell. You may choose new target for this copy. Or choose a token that's a copy of target, or create a token that's a copy of target creature.
Great card. Another great card, once again.
Yeah.
Ooh. So, next one we have is spell stutter for one in a blue. Counter target spell unless its controller pays two, plus an additional one for each fairy you control. Annoying.
Yeah, I just thought it went really well with the fairy tribal, especially if I'm able to crack Una or anything along those lines.
It's just a bonus. Yeah. So, like, even if, like, you didn't have fairies, like, you know, it's still a really strong counter spell. And, like, it's the fact that you have fairies just adds on to it.
Yep.
Then we've got Vision Schemes. One in a blue, each player draws two cards.
And then we got our Wheel and Deal. Three in a blue, any number of target opponents each discards his or her hand and draws seven cards. Draw a card.
And the final card we have for instance is Words of Wisdom for one in a blue. You draw two cards and each other player draws a card.
Or if we have Consecrated Sphinx out, I draw four cards and then each player draws a card and I draw another six cards. That's great! 10 cards with one spell. Or no, sorry, I'm being dumb. I wouldn't draw four off of Consecrated Sphinx. Yeah, you would draw eight cards.
Eight cards for two mana.
Yeah, ain't bad.
Math is hard, it's okay, we get it.
Especially at 9 in the morning.
now it's 9, like how long has it been so far?
Yeah, right. So we'll just skip the artifacts for now, because they're not really the fun part of this deck, mainly just mana rocks and stuff, so we'll leave that for last. So we'll go into our enchantments, and Sherman just had that. Please, Slothy.
Sure. I love this card. We've got Bitter Blossom, one in a black for a tribal enchantment fairy. At the beginning of your upkeep, you lose a life and create a 1/1 black fairy rogue creature token with flying.
Love it. I really enjoy Bitter Blossom. Going through and just like the foil binders and stuff like that, being able to pick up like some of these foil ones, I've really enjoyed it because I've just started making a collection again. Because just any black deck, again, it's just I may lose one life, but most times I'm gaining life in black, and then most of the time I need a block. Like, it's a win-win to me, or if I'm able to keep it out there for long enough, and I swing for six flyers at you and you have no blockers, like, excellent. I'm all right with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, just to finish or to keep us going, we get Copy Enchantment, so two in a blue. You may have Copy Enchantment enter the battlefield as a copy of an enchantment on the battlefield. To me, this is awesome because it's not eye control.
Yeah.
Especially with the next card, which I'm just going to take this. This is my baby. We got Court of Vantress, which is two and two blue. When Court of Vantress enters the battlefield, you become the monarch. There is no may. At the beginning of your upkeep, choose up to one other targeted enchantment or artifact. If you are the monarch, you may create a token that's a copy of it. If you are not the monarch, you may have Court of Vantress become a copy of it, except it has this ability. Again, this is not of an enchantment you control. I created a token of Dustin's doubling season. So I now had a doubling season with a Court of Vantress, being able to make two copies of any enchantment or artifact on the battlefield. I can't find this anywhere. I opened up other boxes and I didn't pull one. If you get these, keep them because they're super fun, and or give them to me.
You don't need more fancy things.
Yes, Mom.
All right. Next card we have is Dictate of Kruphix. So one blue. It has flash. At the beginning of each player's draw step, that player draws an additional card.
And this is the version I have. It is lovely.
It's beautiful.
Apparently, it's almost $10 now. Like, I'm pretty sure I picked it like $2 in a foil binder at a face-to-face event.
Fair.
The next card, Slothy, I had no idea it was so expensive.
Yeah, we've got Estrid's Invocation. It is two in a blue. You may have it enter the battlefield as a copy of any enchantment you control, except again, at the beginning of your upkeep, you may exile this enchantment. If you do, return to the battlefield under its owner's control. This is solid.
It's a great card. Yeah. So you can just keep on changing it up, right?
Yeah, so something else came. Something else better came in? Please. and then, as you guys saw, we got a lot of discard. So I'll take these next two here. So we got Liliana's Caress, which is one in a black. Whenever an opponent discards a card, that player loses 2 life. So if we're wheeling and I'm dealing damage and we got Talion's Trigger just going on, it's just slowly 2, 2, 2, 2. Please discard your 7 card hand. Oh, I'll lose 14 life. Like, that's a woof. Like, right? And then we even got McGrim. 2 and a black enchantment. Whenever an opponent discards a card, McGrim deals 2 damage to that player. If they're both out, that's 4 damage per card.
Well, I mean, yeah, if they're both out and you can still have your Estrid's Invocation copy enchantment.
Oh, that's gross. Yeah. I'm sitting like 4 is gross.
What would that then be?
Okay. Too much.
56 on a wheel?
Or, hear me out here.
That's a win.
If everyone has no cards in hand, the floor of this is pretty bad.
That is true.
They're not having nothing. Well, do you know what? Hey, if they got nothing in hand, a Lickalots or Aklazots is going to be making me, or giving me tear draw, so we're good.
Yeah, it's still good. Like, if your opponents have no cards in hand, but, like, you're still drawing cards like crazy, who cares?
Yep. Again, I have the advantage. They're top decking at that point.
Yeah. And to help that along, the next card here is your good old classic Rhystic Study for 2 and a blue. Whenever an opponent casts a spell, you may draw a card unless the player pays 1.
Listen, that's a $600 one. I'm not that lucky.
Yeah, it's still like $55. So
yeah, I got some luck. Not the luck. Yeah, sure, I'm not sure. Master Chief out here or anything. But actually, I'm not even going to start down that road. Please, Lothi, we get to... Or wait a minute, whose turn? Oh yeah, it's Lothi. Oh, please.
Yeah, next up we've got the Teferi's Ageless Insight. 2 double blue for a legendary enchantment. If you draw a card except the first one you draw in each of your draw steps, draw 2 instead.
Now, if I did that previous spell, it would be 2.
Now.
No, it'd be even more, because every time you draw one, so like this was like Consecrated Sphinx, every time someone draws a card, you draw 4.
Yeah.
Stupid. So stupid.
I love it. The next one that we have here is Teferi's Tutelage. 2 and a blue. When Teferi's Tutelage enters the battlefield, draw a card, then discard a card. Whenever you draw a card, target opponent mills 2 cards.
Fun card.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hate this next card. I hate it so much. Oh, let's just skip it. No one needs to know about it.
You want it to be like the last card that we show?
Okay, we have the Meat Hook Massacre for X and a black. Legendary enchantment. When a Meat Hook Massacre enters the battlefield, each creature gets -X/-X until end of turn. When a creature you control dies, each opponent loses 1 life. When a creature an opponent controls dies, you gain 1 life.
Such an overpowered card. Yeah, it's great.
So, I've never seen this card underperform, ever. Every time I've seen it, it overperformed every single time. They need to reprint this.
It's a trapdoor floor. No! I'm pretty sure I got it as a list card, so they are reprinting it.
That does not count as reprinting. It barely counts. It's like saying, like, oh, they reprinted it in a competitor set.
It's a
like,
0.5. 0.5.
That's not really reprinting. You're not buying, like... Well, actually, if they reprinted this in a commander's deck, I might pick up that commander deck just for this card.
I'd buy 3.
I will say that. Yeah, I'll pick up 3. I'll pick up the whole thing. I'll pick up 10. Why not?
The next one we've got is Threads of Disloyalty. 1 double blue for an aura. Enchant creature with mana value 2 or less, and you control it.
Yes. Your Essence Warden is mine. Oh, your Soul Sisters. Please, let's want to gain life, guys.
That is a mighty fine ruin crab you've got over there.
Ooh, that would be a good in here, too. What is it? Roaming Throne Crabs.
Oh, no. It looks
like a crab. It's like a spider. And then we got our Underworld Dreams. So 3 black. Whenever an opponent draws a card, Underworld Dreams deals 1 damage to that player.
I love the art on this next one.
We got Waste Not for 1 and a black. Whenever an opponent discards a creature card, create a 2/2 black zombie creature token. Whenever an opponent discards a land card, add 2 black. And whenever an opponent discards a non-creature, non-land card, you draw a card. Great, great enchantment. Something that, like, I'm surprised we don't see more often, to be honest. But at the same time...
Especially with the reprinting. Especially with the reprinting. Like, this got heavily reprinted in that Wild Double Drain set.
Yeah.
Whoa. Like,
there's one thing where, like, people are like, okay, I don't like having other people discard cards because, you know, they're going to target me. Okay, I get that logic, but at the same time, there's a lot of people that play cards that force them to discard themselves.
Sherman.
I don't know what you're talking about. Granted, I discard a lot. I know that, but still.
Please. Please take the card that Connor recommended to me, Slothy.
Sure. This was actually my guess.
Because it's so old compared to everything else.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Man, he has all these masterpieces and everything. Like, what's this whiteboard card doing?
2 and a blue. At the beginning of each opponent's combat phase, that player may remove a card from his or her graveyard from the game, so exile it. If the player doesn't, creatures he or she controls can't attack you this turn.
It is a good card. It is a good one.
Again, if it was my choice, nah, I'm good. I like my stuff. It's staying right where it is. Especially if you're able to, like, Bajuka Bog people. Please, you got nothing in there. You can't attack me anyways. I understand you want to. and then we have our artifacts to finish us off here. We got our Arcane Signet, 2 colorless, tap to add 1 mana of any color, and our Commander Identity, so Dimir. And then we got a Commander Sphere, 3 colorless. I picked up a whole bunch of these full art foil ones, because, again, gorgeous artwork.
Mm-hmm. Gorgeous artwork, and it's only $1 foil?
Yeah.
Why not?
That's why I got so many of those generous gifts, the foil flower ones. Yeah, please, $1? But now I'm realizing I have way too many staples. Like, way too many. I'll be honest.
Plot twist. The reason Brian plays so many staples is not because he likes them. It's because he's got so many of them.
It's the only thing
he's
I have.
Just trying to get rid of them now.
He needs to justify the the cost.
He's tired of looking at them in his binder.
Easily, I have 12 generous gifts. Easily, left. And now we're on Breach of Multiverse. Let's go back to those Commander Sphere. Sherman, please take
you
us.
Want, show, show, all right, let's just
you take us through our Dimir.
Right. So we have a Dimir Clue Stone, Key Ruin, and Locket. So the Clue Stone, 3 mana. Okay, tap to add blue or black, or you can tap a blue black, tap it, sacrifice the Clue Stone to draw a card. The Key Ruin instead. That's the same thing for adding a blue or black, but if you play pay a blue or black, you can turn the Key Rune into a 2/2 blue and black core artifact creature until end of turn, and it's unblockable this turn, which is really, really, really important. A lot of people don't remember the unblockable part. So,
horror.
And then
horror
finally
travel.
You have to lock it.
Horror travel.
Sorry?
Is that horror travel?
Yeah.
You found my secret commander.
The last one. If you pay, it has 4 hybrid for the pay, to, and then you tap it to sacrifice the locket and to draw 2 cards.
All honesty, I love these so much. Like, all of these, like, I went through and I got rid of some other mana rocks, but, like, all of these ones, creature. So another, I can make it, if I need a blocker, I can make it into a blocker. But if it's, they just board wiped, hey, I still got my little artifact out. I'm going to swing for 3. Like, it's, or, like, if you're getting down to late game, and, like, it's me and Sherman, I'm at, like, 3 life, he's at 2. And all of a sudden, hey, I still, I have these cards that help me go for my card draw. So I pay the 4 mana, sacrifice it, draw 2 cards. Like, it's, like, they're just so versatile, and you don't see a lot of people running them. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
I just ask everybody for them all.
Yeah, most people go for like the mana rocks are two cost nowadays because it's faster, right? Because the format's gotten so fast. But like Talion, you're not going for the fast win. You're going for the advantage. You're gonna attrition everyone out.
Well, that's it. I want to attrition everybody. Like that's most of my my bogus deck, right? At two, like I don't want to just be like a Nimpakaal swinging everything all the time. With this one is really it's what ways can I win? It's just I want to try to win in a different direction. So excuse me, mill, discard. Just I like the versatility with a lot of these things. It just makes me happy. I'm a happy boy. Sorry, please.
moving on here. We've got our Folio of Fancies, one and a blue. Players have no maximum hand size. XX and tap to have each player draw X cards. Two and a blue and tap. Each opponent puts a number of cards equal to the number of cards in their hand from the top of their graveyard or library into their graveyard.
Yeah, it's a wunderbar. And then we got our Honored Heirloom, three colorless, tap to add one mana of any color, or pay two, tap to exile target card from a graveyard. Well, you got one card in your grave, I will exile it. Please, Web of Inertia, Slothy.
And then we got the Letter of Acceptance for three mana, add one of any color, and then tap two and tap it to sacrifice the Letter of Acceptance to draw a card.
Every time it's the Letter of Acceptance, the thing that pops into my head, you're a wizard, Harry!
That's why they have it as an owl for the picture.
Real talk, you do not know how many times people have said that to me through my life.
Oh, probably. I'm definitely, yeah. You probably shouldn't have said this on the podcast there, sir. We all know you. All know you as Slothy.
I've said my name a couple times.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say I alone.
Next one we've got is Sensei's Divining Top. One mana. You can pay one. Look at the top three cards of your library. Put them back in any order. Tap to draw a card, then put Sensei's Divining Top on top of its owner's library.
And then to round us out, good old-fashioned Sol Ring.
What does that one do again?
Tap, add two colorless. You know. You know that ring? Maybe
I said it wrong. It's spelled as S-O-L. Why is that?
Yeah, right. What was it? Oh, there was a GIF where even your marketing team doesn't know how to spell the cards, and they spelled it soul, like S-O-U-L.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. For lands, really nothing like super odd. Like, I got Vesuva and Thespian Stage. Watery Grave and Urborg. Again, it's if I can make them all in the swamps and then tap my Crypt Gear or get my Crypt Cast to double up, awesome.
Wild Golfers.
Yeah. So really nothing like I would say that would be I don't care about my lands, in all honesty. They're just there to help me out, but for the most part, if it's all basics, you'd still be able to play pretty well.
You should throw a Dark Deaths in there.
Probably. I don't think I have one, so I think that's just the only reason why I didn't go in. but that's my Talion deck. So the average, from what I can see, what's my average? 2.14 with lands and 3.26 without. So again, CMC is right where I want it to be. Every time I've played it, I've just had a lot of fun. I saw it as a CDH commander. Again, I don't like playing a CDH, but I just thought its ability was really fun. And just going for three, I think. Everyone's like, can you choose a different number? No, we're good. I tried to, didn't work so good. Three is the magic number.
Yeah, I mean, playing on the other side of this deck, it is frustrating. However, at the same time, I had a lot of fun in that game playing against it. And actually kind of seeing everything laid out now, some of the things that were there made a lot more sense.
Yeah. Well, you're wondering what are you doing with this? Why is this here? Just wait, Sloth. Just wait. As Daniel bags, please, just do one more turn. No, Talia, it's just, if you want a deck where you can get some card advantage, and you just want to play some really fun cards, because again, my thought is, if I'm able to draw, I'm able to get my land. If I'm able to get my land, then I can play some bigger, funner spells. I did have some other, like, I had the fairies, like Slumber Party or something like that. It's return all, I think it's a 4/2 blue, return all non-fairy creatures to their opponent's hand, and for each creature returned, you create a 1/1 fairy. So, again, there are other cards if you want to go the fairy direction and you want to go, like, if you wanted to go in a discard route, you could definitely, for me, I wanted it to be a versatile deck where I could take it in different directions depending upon how the game's playing. And with that, I don't even have fancy boots in here. What am I doing? I just realized this.
Have you? Fancy boots.
Talion version 3.0. 32 lands and 2 more pairs of fancy boots.
Oh, good gracious.
Yeah, it's a wonderful.
This is a very annoying deck to play against. I will 100% admit that. Before the recording, I was telling Brian, like, you know, just for him, when he pulls out this deck, I might build a deck just to break my budget rule, because I tend to have, like, I tend to build my decks around a budget of around close to $100 if possible. But for,
well, I'm sitting here with a deck nine times.
I will break that rule just because it's very, very, very difficult to run a budget deck against something like this. In all honesty, it is very, very difficult.
Your deck still. I think you've played against this twice now?
I played against it twice. Once for recording, and once just because...
Dustin's.
At Dustin's and everything, and we lost that one?
Yep, sure did. I think you guys lost to Mill that time, or something along those lines.
I can't remember, but like, it doesn't help that the other two don't have like interaction as much as I do. I try to run a lot of interaction, right? Because I want answers constantly at, you know, my fingertips.
I want answers always.
Yeah. I always want answers, right?
You know, I don't want war or peace. I just want answers.
So, but like, you know, like, it really does come down to the playgroup, well, like what the decks are and everything, how everyone's focused, like what everyone's trying to do. Mm-hmm. And if like, when Brian is playing the Italian deck, it is very, very, very difficult to, it's not hard to threat assess. He is the problem. Every single time. He is the problem. Okay, and...
A problem knows a problem, Sherman.
You're listening to all these cards and how we're talking about it and everything. You can tell, just from the creatures alone, this deck is very, very, very degenerate.
Yes. And I built it that way. So I for this one, I actually, I needed some form, because a lot of my decks, I don't go for degenerative plays. Like I've said in this podcast already, like, or most of the times, I go for the fun plays. I go for the fun of the table. But I realized that I really should have one where it's actually kind of based more for winning. But I didn't want it to go, this is my mill deck, this is my draw deck. I put aspects of each, because mill, draw, discard, they all kind of feed into one another if you think about it, right? They'll all kind of help you do what you're looking to do. So I have recursion, I have reanimate, I have I dabble on a little bit of everything. And that to me is just what helps me out. Plus, I have how many counters in this deck comparative to everything else? I know what I need to keep on the field, or what I... It all depends upon, really, the game and the direction that I want to kind of go in. But I made sure to have protection. And if you do blow up my stuff, I actually have board wipes in this.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a well-built deck. I will admit it. So, well, like, you know, and like,
it just makes me smile.
Like, we everyone should have a deck like this where like you just go all out and just go nuts. You know, like you want to go for a win. It's not like this is not competitive, yet it kind of is.
Yeah,
it's not. It's definitely not casual. Let's just say that.
So if we look at it, I have no searches. I don't even have no fetches.
Tutors. You don't have any fetches.
Yeah, so no fetches, no tutors. I was thinking of throwing an opposition agent in here. I will not lie. I have one sitting in my binder, but I didn't want to put it in here. But I would probably still put this at a power level, probably between maybe 7.5 to an 8.
It's definitely an 8 or higher. Definitely not a 7.5.
It does not have the consistency.
No, I definitely think that 7.5 to 8 is kind of right where I would put it.
Because I don't have the fast plays. I like going with the heart of the cards.
you say it's not consistent, yet you have a lot of card draw and you're 7-1.
Touche, the card draw is the consistency, but...
Yeah, so it does. I don't care what you say. With a record like that, it's pushing an 8 or higher. It's definitely not a 7.5. You cannot... If it was, if it was 7 to a 7.5, you would not have a record like that. And the only reason why you have a loss is because Daniel was specifically targeting you.
Yeah, I shouldn't have bragged.
Yeah, okay. But that's the thing, though. Okay.
Hey, like, then I'd be here. Eight, no.
But like you also have to consider the price of this deck. Once again, yeah. Okay, we're pushing close to $900. You do not have a deck that's $900 that's around a 7.5, unless it's not put together well.
Oh, challenge accepted, Sherman. I'll build you the worst expensive deck.
Okay, but if you're building something that's like that works well, like you have here, mm-hmm. Okay, that's a high price point. There's no way it will ever go below an 8. It's an 8 minimum, in my opinion. Okay, just because of the fact that like you have so many things that are degenerate. Okay, like I said, like for you, when you bring this deck out, there, like I have to break my budget rule and build a deck specifically to go against this. Like, I know people say, oh, like, I have a budget deck that will, like, go 5-0, like, you know, like, 10-0, or, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I have a Yuriko deck that's, like, only costs $100, and it wins, like, 90% of the time. I totally get that. I totally understand. Okay? But, you know, at the same time, like, I don't play a Yuriko deck. I play a lot of commanders that, like, most people don't like to play at all.
No, you play the Outliers, so that's why I like playing, typically. I don't like seeing commander.
Yeah, so like I try to play weird things here and there. I try to play weird concepts, weird combos, and all that stuff. You know, so like, but like this deck, like it is very, very, very strong. Okay, if people want to try this out and they don't want to spend the money, all honesty, proxy it. Okay, go to the best proxy shop. You know,
IT99.
You know, you talk to him, like, you know, he has a lot of great stuff there, okay? But, like, proxy it and give this a shot, okay? And mm-hmm. You will see that this is a really, really strong, degenerate deck where everyone will target you every single time. And, yeah, like, Ryan, like, I'm sorry, but, like, there's no way this is 7.5. This is pushing 8 or above.
Slothy.
Definitely not a 9, but, like, definitely minimum an 8.
Slothy, I guess before we put this into the area of public critique and opinion, do you have any thoughts?
No, I kind of said mine already. I quite like it. It is very, very strong, having played against it before. I've got some words about Orcish Bowmasters, but that's kind of a general thing. That's not just you.
Oh yeah, yeah. The Orcish Bowmaster is definitely a
ridiculously pushed card.
Yeah,
yeah.
But once again, like I said, like this is a deck that's very, very degenerate because of that. Like you have like Orcish Bowmasters, you have the Notion Thief, you have Mihook Massacre, like you have Shieldred. Like these are like sure they're one off cards, but when you throw all of these together, it's not is is not even
just fire like powers combined.
It's a good stuff synergy deck of some sort, right? So you have. Sorry?
Yeah, no, I said, yeah, right? Good. Yeah,
exactly, right? That's why it's so strong. It's like you have like a lot of really, really, really strong cards in this deck. Okay? Do not get me wrong. It is, like, I have to choose my words really close here. There's so many words I wanted to say, but like, it is really, really, really strong. Like, I really strongly suggest people, like, just proxy it and just give this a shot and just try it out, because it is when I watch you play, it does look like you are having the time of your life. Okay, because people just don't have answers, and they're trying to dig for the answers.
Well, I think a lot of time is when you have options too, right? Yeah, like I could do this, I could do that. What's fun? Like you when you have multiple options to do something, you're just like, oh, like what could be fun, what could cause like the table to groan, or what could make them laugh as a whole, right? Like that's where I like the ability to choose what I want to do, or just have open options. Like, I just made 999 tokens. Meat Hook Massacre.
So annoying.
But with that, we'll end our episode there, guys. I don't have the fancy music cued like Daniel. And with that, Dan, we hope you get better. Please tell me why my deck's a 7.5 and lower. Tell Sherman he's wrong. I'm joking. He probably will definitely side with you there, Sherman. But with that, everyone, as we mentioned earlier in the episodes, if you want to help support the show and you want to join the community, check out Patreon. You can join our Discord for free. You get if you sign up for $1 or more, you get early access to all of our video content. You're able to come in here, listen to our episodes like thunder, and just have a good time. It's actually, I've really been, the Discord's been bumping, and I've been loving it. Also, YouTube has all of our video content. Head there, check it out. If you haven't subscribed, do it. Do it now. And we're 10 away from hitting 900, you guys. Woo, goals. And also, if you want to find everything, including some wonderful written articles by Thunder, check out intothe99.com, and that's where you'll find all of our video content, our social media posts, everything. It's all our good stuff. And as Sherman mentioned, BIS Proxy Shop, IT99, 15% off. Do it now. Proxy.
I'm actually excited.
Oh, yeah, you ordered some, right?
Yeah, I ordered those Nazguls from them. I'm not paying $20 per Nazgul.
I should have held off on my Nazguls.
Yeah, I like, he has a set of them for like non-foil $26. I'm like, sold.
Yeah, sold. All of them for $26, deal.
Like, yeah, and it's just for a deck that I'm just like playing around with. So yeah.
No, that makes sense. If you're not sure that's like functionality wise, if it'll actually work or not, yeah, then that makes sense.
Yeah. So, and he looked nice, because each Nazgul is different. So, like, you have the set of 9, each one's different. For $26 compared to, like spending, like, they were, like, $20 each for the actual cards. If you get, like, the common Nazguls, if you go for, like, the ones that are more rare, that's pushing up to, like, $35, $40.
Oh, wow. Wow. I have no idea about that.
Oh, sorry, it was $26, because he's in the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah, but either way, yeah.
So, 26 anyway. State spots. And with that, guys, we thank you for listening. As always, love you all. Cheers.
Later.
See ya.